October of 1967, I think all of our efforts in the military, all of the training, was all centered around Vietnam. And it was a common talk of everyone in the military. The odds were very great that you were going to Vietnam. And much of the training that we received in the Army centered around the thought process that everyone would be going to Vietnam. I entered OCS, and upon entering OCS, at that time it was over a 50% dropout or failure rate of people in OCS. The restrictions and requirements were very tough to complete the program, but everyone was very much motivated to complete the program because if you failed, then many of the people were sent to Fort Polk, Louisiana, and then they were sent, after training there, which was a jump-off point for infantry, they were sent to Vietnam. I think one of the things that people tended to try to follow was people that they knew in the Army, that they had gone through the various levels of training with. People were always interested to hear if one of them had been injured or hurt or killed in Vietnam. Upon the completion of the OCS, I was assigned to Heidelberg, Germany. And even upon arriving there, much of my life, or I guess all of my life, centered around the military because that's what I was in. There was a constant rotation of people from Germany to Vietnam. The average tour that a person spent in Vietnam was 13 months. And at that period of time, for career military soldiers, they would spend 13 months in Vietnam, and then they would come back to the States for about 24 months, and then they would rotate back to Vietnam again. And they shared and told a lot of stories and activities of occurrences that happened in Vietnam, of people that got killed or hurt.
Okay. We kind of touched a little bit on the status symbols as far as cars, but I was wondering if there's anything else in the 50s and 60s that perhaps you remember. As a teenage boy, I'm sure there were things that you would want to have, or was it due to the community that those didn't really exist, as far as, like, kids today want a certain pair of jeans, and if they have a certain pair of jeans, you know, that's just the best thing in the world. And I was just wondering, as a teenager, if you can remember anything that was seen as extraordinary.
Well, being very conscious about clothes, I don't recall that, and I don't think many of my friends were ever very conscious about clothes, nor spent a great deal of time and effort. I think girls back then were more interested in clothes than boys were. Boys didn't really get involved very much, except that, you know, I remember the clothes back then. There was no such thing as washing wear. My mother had to iron all the clothes that we wore. Blue jeans were not considered cool back then. If you wore blue jeans to school, you were considered one of the poorer children. The more desired thing to wear would be something like khaki pants or other than blue jeans. The things that most of the kids were interested in, I think most of the kids, the idea of going steady and the girl wearing the boy's football jacket and the class ring with a big wad of wax stuck under it was kind of the end thing. The kids did a lot of fast driving in cars. Cars were very popular, and it was really cool if you could have your own car. not a lot of the kids back then had their own car. Most of the time they drove the family vehicle, and many families only had one car, and some of them had two, but we used to spend a lot of time racing or drag racing, driving fast and doing crazy things in cars. That was kind of the cool thing to do back then.
What type of occupations were most popular, as you remember, throughout the 50s and 60s, as far as throughout teenage years, and what you remember older adults doing? What was considered the prestigious type?
Well, as a teenager, the prestigious job was to be a bag boy at the grocery store, because you got to work at least inside part of the time where it was cool, and it was perceived as one of the prestigious jobs to get in town. Older people, there just didn't appear to be a lot of what I call very professional jobs. Like, there were not major chains back then, such as grocery stores or restaurants, theaters. It appeared to me that everything in my hometown centered around the small business entrepreneur. Maybe the person that owned the little grocery store, or the person that owned the gasoline station. These were the people that had the more prestigious type jobs. A lot of the other people either worked on farms or just worked general laboring type jobs for other people. In the 50s and 60s when I grew up, there was really no such things such as computers. Even adding machines were not very technical. It was really more of what I would call a physical laboring time. People that were teachers were perceived as having very important positions, and they were respected within the community. But I guess my recollection of the 50s and 60s would be so different than it is now, because you have so many things that are on a large scale. And back then, I can remember an adult would work for $40 or $50 a week, and that would be the income that they would make. And most often this was in something that would just be some type of physical laboring type job.
By physical type laboring job, would you mean more, working transportation? I mean, that sounds probably stupid, but I mean, as far as like physical labor, can you give me some examples of what you remember?
Well, you would have to remember the type work that you see now. Just take an example, something like construction. You have tractors that with backhoes that will dig holes very quickly. You have machines that shoot nails into the boards. Back then, in the 50s and 60s, at least where I grew up, none of this was available. If a hole had to be dug, then most of the time the hole was dug by hand. If you were constructing a house, then all the nails were driven in by hand. And if you look at a house nowadays and you see like plywood sheeting on the side, I don't recall anything even such as plywood back then that would have been used in home construction. All the boards on the side of the house would just be boards that would be nailed there. There would be no sheets of plywood or anything like that. Equipment was just not really very developed back then. A lawnmower, a gasoline-powered lawnmower was something that, at least in my realm, was unheard of. People would mow their grass many times in the early 50s with a push mower. And when gasoline-powered lawnmowers came along, then they were really very significant innovations that would help people cut their grass.
What ways, like, you know today of, like, climbing up the ladder of success, did any of that exist? Were there companies that people could get on with? I mean, I know they did to a degree, but being in the smaller community that you were in, I mean, were there ways? I mean, if a family was wealthy in that area, with how did that come to be? Was it just they came through it through their crops, through their family ties? I mean, because some people obviously had more than others. What gave them the edge to have more than other families did?
Well, I think that most often there would have been an entrepreneur that would have had a good idea of maybe in the timber business, such as running a sawmill, or the grocery business, such as having a grocery store, or starting a bank. These people would oftentimes end up very wealthy. The people underneath them oftentimes merely made a living. They did not go up the corporate ladder, oftentimes, as you would see in today's world, because most of the businesses were very small and owned and managed by a few family members or a few people working together. The work environment was just very different then as compared to now, because back then there were no child labor laws. I can remember working in the little grocery store that I worked in when I was a teenager, and working in the meat market and using the large band saw that you would cut the meat with, which was a very dangerous piece of equipment because there was just an exposed blade. But there were no laws or constraints upon using that equipment back then, where now, with today's work environment, you need to be at least 18 years of age to operate any of that hazardous type equipment. Also back then, there were no such things as labor laws or anything to protect the worker. If a worker became injured on the job, then it was just their hard luck. They went home with the injury, and if they worked with a business or a company that really cared for their people, then they might be taken care of by the company, but oftentimes that wasn't the case. If they became injured or unable, sick, they could not perform the work, then they would just be really laid off and someone else was given the job. I would have to recall that there was probably very little upward mobility in the small town that I was born and raised in. Many of the children, when they grew up, they had as a goal, and it was to move away to a large city where there would be more opportunity.